Welcome to the spirit world, answering your questions on angels, demons, and how the spiritual and physical worlds interact. And now your hosts, Debbie Giorgiani and Adam Bly.
And welcome to the spirit world. I am Debbie Giorgiani with religious demonologist and co-host Adam Bly. And this is our January open forum. That's right. That's where we hit the ground running with all of your calls about angels, demons, anything in between. This is all up to you, you guys. So fill those phone lines right now because we want to hear from you and what's going on in your life. But before we begin anything, Adam, we always start with the St. Michael prayer.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. Name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Beautiful. Okay, we started with the St. Michael prayer. Phone lines are already lighting up. We have Carol and Anna on the phones. This is our January open forum to close this wonderful month of the new year, 2026. And today is the feast of St. John Bosco. Oh, do we love this great saint. And this great saint has a lot to do with the work that we do here on the spirit world. And we'll share that with the amazing story of the dog that followed him and protected him through his ministry work, Grigio. Very interesting story. Was it angelic intervention? Well, we'll talk about that. We'll weave that into the discussion. But we do want to go immediately to the phones. And here is the number. If you have something to ask, something to say, a question, you have no one to go to, we're here for you because that's how the spirit world rolls. So please dial this number, 877-757-9424. Again, that's 877-757-9424. Half of the phone lines are already taken, so there's room for you, though, so jump right in. You don't have to be Catholic to call in. The spirit world is for you. If you hear the sound of our voices, we consider you part of the family. We are being produced by the Guadalupe Radio Network, and we are being heard all over the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Networks. You know what that means? Folks in Sweden, folks in Portugal, in the UK, call in. And we take our international callers very seriously because we know it takes a lot for you to call in. So we will definitely inch you up to the front of the line. Almost full phone lines here. So exciting on this January open forum, Adam. 877-757-9424. We always like to check in to see how ministry work is going in our lives. So Adam, you had the exorcism work yesterday. How did it go?
It went well. Just kind of continuing and diagnosing a couple of new cases, trying to figure out, you know, for sure what's going on there. So, it's good, and continue to train priests. So I would say it was a productive day. You know, we have very cold temperatures up here, as a lot of the United States does, and some of our roads aren't clear yet. So some people, it was difficult for them to travel. So we got some extra time to just sit and talk, which can be really nice, you know, the priests and myself, and we end up discussing theology and spirituality, and so I really enjoy that.
Oh, that's wonderful. And you know, Adam, it's interesting you're talking about the weather conditions. I just wanted everyone to know that we have been praying nonstop for everyone to stay warm, to be protected, to be safe in all the different circumstances. So just know that we believe in the power of prayer. We take it very seriously, and we care about one another. So please join us in those prayers, so to make sure that the body of Christ is taken care of, and prayer definitely works. Adam, before I know you were going to ask me how my week was going, and I was actually going to talk about St. John Bosco, but we can actually encourage our listeners to just look up the story of St. John Bosco and Grigio, the very mysterious dog that followed him around for about 30 years. So think about that for a moment, a dog living 30 years. The dog never ate, and the dog always showed up and saved Don Bosco from assassins and heretics that were trying to hurt him or kill him. And it's just a fascinating story. So if we don't get to talk about it today during this very brief hour, because I'm looking at, we have full phone lines plus already in 5 minutes of the spirit world starting. So we're going to get to the phones. But everyone this weekend, talk about this story. It's quite beautiful. And it really leads into a lot of the dreams that St. John Bosco had. And remember, St. John Bosco being the patron saint of, you know, educators and the youth. I mean, he's just a remarkable saint, the founder of the Salesians. So after the charism and the gifts of St. Francis de Sales, I just love that. So it's a beautiful story and something that I think is wonderful to bring to the family this weekend as you get ready for Mass. Okay, Adam, are you ready? Let's go to our first caller.
Absolutely.
Okay, we're going to go to Jeff, and Jeff is in Yardley, Pennsylvania, listening on Domestic Church Media. Hi, Jeff. Welcome to the Spirit World.
Thank you. Good morning to you. Thank you for taking my call. I'm a devoted listener, and I appreciate the show. My call is regarding guardian angels, and I certainly believe the guardian angels protect us spiritually. But I'm asking this very respectfully because my guardian angel is listening. Why aren't our guardian angels more proactive in protecting us against physical harm?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So may I go first, mm-hmm. Adam? Because I get this question all the time, Jeff. Okay, from the study that I've done for many years on angels, they are proactive. Just look at an LA freeway. Okay. Does that ever blow your mind that there isn't more accidents happening on an LA freeway? There's a whole angelic network working on our behalf, helping us and preventing all sorts of accidents all over the place. Now, why are certain things allowed? Well, because it may be part of God's plan to permit things for our own well-being, for our understanding, for the choices we make, for the consequences we suffer. And so you have to trust in God's plan. But are they there to protect us from physical harm? Absolutely. Look at Psalm 91. Right in the middle of the Psalm, God's protection right there. They're there to guard us and guide us. And so they are preventing many accidents that we don't see and we don't experience because we just go on with life. But we also have to remember that God does not step into or infringe on our free will. So there are certain things that God will permit based on our own choices. And so that's where you have to take that into consideration. I know Adam will clean up anything I missed.
No, Jeff, it's a good question. And I think Deb is right on it. It's kind of like thinking about, why do I get the flu? Why do I get a cold? You know, why didn't my body fight off that infection? And the thing that we don't realize is the thousand other infections during the year that our body did fight off, but we never noticed because we never felt them. It's kind of like that. So, yeah, exactly. They are doing things, and when they're doing them successfully, you don't even notice that they did them, is kind of the thing. Now, and I don't have, we don't have time to get into it, but I've had personal experiences with what I believe was angelic protection. I know a number of people have, and I've heard some pretty extraordinary stories directly from people that, you know, they didn't want to be known. It was just a personal experience. So I do believe they help us.
Well, and let me add another thing, Jeff, real quickly. The other thing, too, is if you want your guardian angel to be more active in your spiritual life and guarding and guiding you, illuminating your mind, strengthening your will, being in a state of grace, getting in a state of grace, staying in a state of grace is a much better connection. Because remember, they're beholding the face of God and ministering to you at the same time. So when we are not in a state of grace, it's kind of like stepping on the garden hose. You're kind of kinking up the garden hose a bit so that the water can't flow, you know, perfectly. So you'll get a tiny, not all the time, but you'll get a disconnect there if you're not in a state of grace. Anything you wanted to add, Jeff?
I just want to thank you because those are really informed answers. And I am going to embrace your state of grace suggestion. I'm going to have a totally different perspective. Thank you.
Oh,
God bless you, Jeff.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jeff. You probably helped many souls today. So that's wonderful. Thank you so very much. Okay, we got a little bit of feedback there, but that's okay because we're going fast and our show team is, boy, they are on the phones and the phones are just lighting up. It looks like a Christmas tree in January. I love it, Adam. Okay, so let's say hello before our first break to Carol in Fredericksburg, Virginia on the EWTN app. Hi, Carol. Welcome to the spirit world.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I hope you can help me with my crazy question. I've had two things happen to me that I don't even know why I haven't been afraid. I've felt no fear, but it's come back to me. 30 years ago, I had a house in Fredericksburg, and the craziest things happened there. One of the things, I went into my house, opened up the front door, and the first thing you see are the stairs going upstairs to the bedrooms. At the top of the stairs was standing a man in a Confederate Army uniform, and I could see through him. And I focused my eyes. I thought I was seeing things. I would try to focus my eyes, and he was, like, gone in a flash. And then there was a right next to where he had been standing was an extra bedroom. Now, that door we had trouble with because it kept getting locked. So I'd kept unlocking it and opening it, trying to keep the door open, but somehow it got closed and locked. And when I would go in, the bed was unmade, as if someone slept there, but there was nobody who slept there. Very strange. Okay, all of this time, I'm just passing it off as if I'm a crazy gal. You know, none of this could possibly be happening. And there were a lot of other things that happened, like the tree called the arborist to come help it and said he was my husband, Henry. I didn't have a husband, and I know no one by the name of Henry. But the arborist had my phone number. That's the call that came in on my cell phone. And he said, "What's the matter? Is something wrong?" And I said, "No, please come and take a look at the tree and see if it needs help. I'll gladly pay for it." So he came, and yes, the tree was sick, and the tree got help. And from that point forward, the tree's name was Henry, I guess. I don't know. But I couldn't believe the things that happened. Oh, it gets better.
well, Carol, hold on. Stay with us, please, because we're about ready to approach a break. You hear the music. I want Adam to comment on all you shared. I think it's fascinating. And these kinds of things that are happening to us, I think it's important that we learn about it and try to, you know, figure out what's going on and give everybody a sense of peace and calm about things. So if you have something to say or a question to ask, please dial in right now at 877-757-9424. This is our January open forum here on the Spirit World. Carol is going to hang on the line with us, and then we'll get to Rich, Lawrence, Tony, and the others when we come back. We'll be right back.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for January 31st. Today we celebrate St. John Bosco. Before he entered the seminary, today's saint stopped at a second-hand store to get the shoes and clothes he would need. It was only natural that following his ordination in 1841, John Bosco focused much of his energy on other young boys and men of the working class who needed both vocational education and religious training. With the assistance of wealthy and powerful patrons in the industrial city of Turin, Italy, he opened workshops for the boys, who were trained in such practical skills as shoemaking, tailoring, and bookbinding. By 1856, the institution had grown to 150 boys, and he added a printing press for publication of religious and catechetical pamphlets. For this, John Bosco is considered the patron of young apprentices and Catholic publishers. John's preaching skills helped spread news of his work and attracted other men interested in joining him. In 1854, he and his followers informally banded together under the patronage of St. Francis de Sales, also known as the Salesians. Members of this society concentrated on education and mission work. When John Bosco died in 1888, thousands of Turin citizens lined the streets to mourn him. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
The Spirit World continues with Debbie Giorgiani and Adam Bly. If you have a question for the show, call 877-757-9424 or email tsw@grnonline.com.
Full phone lines here at the Spirit World. No surprise, because you guys are very interested in this kind of these kinds of topics and this program. So thank you so very much for following us each and every Saturday. We appreciate it. If you want to jump in when a line becomes open, you got to go quickly. 877-757-9424. And Adam, we're speaking with Carol from Fredericksburg, Virginia, who tells an interesting story, and I'd love to hear your comments on this.
Okay, Carol. So, yeah, really interesting questions. Really quick, Carol, was that a very old house that you were living in that may have gone back to the times of those battles?
Yes. Carol?
Okay, okay.
Yes.
Okay, so...
But
so
there's more to the story than meets the eye, because I'll really try to make it fast, but it's important. I was hearing at certain periods of time, like marching... like soldiers marching, and you could hear the drums and everything. But I never saw anybody. I assumed it was the school. So I was outside and I asked the neighbors, and I said, oh, yeah, that happens all the time. This used to be a battlefield, and we hear it all the time.
Right.
And he pushed it off like it was nothing. So I left it be as if it was nothing, and I moved from there and forgot all about it. I mean, nobody tried to hurt me or anything, so well. Anyway, my granddaughter was looking for housing, and she said, oh, I'm here in Fredericksburg. Where did we used to live? The house. And I gave her the address, and then all of this came back to me. So I was telling my friend in Richmond about it, and she said, oh, that's nothing.
Okay, Carol. So Carol, Carol, I'm just going to address what you shared initially about your home there, just for the sake of time, okay? This is a fairly common thing. I've heard this many times from people that are either camping on old battlefields or living in these historic buildings. This is also something that a lot of soldiers have reported, like modern soldiers that are fighting and living in places that have been barracks or places of battle in previous wars. Here's the thing. I think they're poor souls in purgatory, signaling their presence as a need for prayer. They never talk to anybody that I've ever heard over the years. Now, poor souls they will only say they need prayer, and usually they say nothing. They just appear. So that would be my take on it, and I wouldn't worry about it, especially since nothing kind of followed you and continued once you moved away from there. I would just chalk it up as poor souls, and we can pray for them, of course, because, you know, if God is allowing that, it's for that reason. And that's kind of how we separate poor souls from a demonic trick, right? Poor souls are generally silent. They're not terrifying. There's not a sense of dread around them. It might be startling. It's odd to see somebody that you can see through. I've seen a ghost once in my life ever, and I believe it was my uncle shortly after he died, and I was wide awake, and I could see through him, and he just stood there and stared at me. So I know exactly what you're talking about. I wouldn't worry about it. You can continue to pray for the soldiers that you saw or heard, even though you don't live there anymore. Mm-hmm. Anything you want to add?
Yeah,
I think that's great. Carol, what do you say real quickly? We're going to have to let you go on that because the phone lines are blowing up here.
Right, I understand.
What do you think about what Adam shared?
Yeah, well, that's what I thought in the first place when I lived there, and I did pray. It didn't seem to get any better, but that's okay. And then I moved after 3 years, and I never heard anything or saw anything again, but I have that in my prayer book every morning and every night. People are prayed for. So I do that, but it just, I forgot about it, I guess. I don't know. But when all this came about, she went by there, and it looks the same, and all this other stuff. All of a sudden, like,
came back
whoa,
to you.
Remember? Yeah.
Well, Carol,
and I'm remembering for a reason.
Yeah. Well, Carol, but it's good that you have it in the prayer book, because when you help these other souls through prayer, once they get to heaven, they're going to pay you back. They're going to help you back. So it's a beautiful thing. So if God has tapped you to be the one to pray for these certain people in history, I think it's awesome, as long as it doesn't frighten you in any way, shape, or form. So Carol, awesome. Thank you for sharing with us the story. We so appreciate it. We're getting a lot of pressure from the spirit world family saying, go faster, go faster. We're trying to go as fast as we can. So Carol, thank you. Call us anytime, please. Before we get to Rich, I'm going to sneak in a couple questions from Facebook and YouTube. And by the way, Adam, please wave to everybody on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, X, Rumble, and Twitch. We love you guys. Okay, Lisa wants to ask from Facebook, is it true that spirits or ghosts are all demons? If not, how do you know the difference? Adam, quickly.
No, they're not all demons. So demons do pretend to be ghosts or human spirits, especially when people play around with divination or necromancy, calling the dead, ghost hunting, psychic mediums, that kind of thing. So poor souls in purgatory, they don't have a conversation. They don't go back and forth with the person. They usually show up at places where there's been murders or suicides, and they often manifest in churches or rectories or convents, monasteries. And they will do nothing scary, and they won't have a big conversation, but they will signal their presence. And kind of time will tell. So you pray for them, and if everything goes away, it was a poor soul for sure. And if bad things start to happen, call your priest.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and real quickly on Facebook, Ryan wanted to ask, I'll go ahead and answer this one, Adam. Ryan's been curious about our education back in school and looking to follow in studying angelology and getting into life coaching. Do you need a master's or doctorate in psychology? Wants to know that. Okay, so Ryan, I do have a master's in theology. I studied angels for well over 13 years on my own because there weren't any classes, angelology classes when I was looking into it. But I do have a full graduate degree in theology. As for life coaching, there are certification programs. You don't necessarily need a background in psychology or anything like that. But I would go to very trusted sources if you're going to go for certification. And please do not fall into any New Age stuff, because some life coaching does fall into New Age. I've been life coaching for 20 years, and ours is very Catholic Christian life coaching, very different. And so I hope that helps. Adam, any quick comments on that?
No, that's perfect.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll move on to Rich then. Rich is in Queens, New York on Sirius XM 130. Hi, Rich. Thanks for waiting and welcome.
Hi, Deb. Hi, Adam. Happy New Year.
You too.
So just briefly, I got into, I kind of fell off the wagon, regarding, not with pornography. I was having issues with that, but I stopped doing that like over 2 years ago. But now this AI chat just really took a hold on me, you know, and it's actually chatting with, I don't know if you're familiar with it, but it's actually, you know, you chat back and forth with, like, you know, with women or with men, whatever the relationship is. And I noticed that. That went on for a month, and I stopped. Actually, had a serious decline in my spiritual formation and my spiritual life while I was doing that. But I also noticed that I wasn't as aggressively in a dark place as I thought I'd go into. And I think God actually put a wall up and prevented me to get beyond that. You know. Really go down a really, really dark path. The problem was that between my spiritual director and my therapist, I'm struggling with issues growing up with my, you know, having a bad relationship with my father. And I have one, I apparently I have one with God the Father. I'm trying to rectify that, but I feel like, mm-hmm. you know, I added Covenant Eyes. I blocked the app. And my question specifically is that something that God would have done, like blocked my, you know, kept me from going, you know, as far down the path as I would have?
Yeah, Rich. So good question. And I'm sure a lot of people are struggling with this. Yeah, for sure. The Holy Spirit, your guardian angel, God, however you want to think about it, it's God touching you. It could be through your guardian angel. Ultimately, it's all God, right? Yeah, for sure, can kind of inspire us to avoid a sin and maybe wake up or not go too deep because, you know, God knows if we get too deep and these things get too much of a hold on us psychologically, it can be hard to get out of it. So, yeah, for sure. And I would thank God when that happens, you know. That famous scripture, you know, God only gives us as much as we can handle. He only allows as much temptation as we can handle. So he was putting the brakes on that temptation for you, probably because you were reaching the limit of what you could handle, and it was getting a hold of you in terms of the addiction that people can get with AI.
Right.
So not only thank God for that, thank your guardian angel, but ask them to continue to help you. And I would consider getting some counseling if your insurance will cover it or you can afford it, because you know, we don't have time to do a whole thing on AI, mm-hmm. but
right.
These things have no ethics. They don't care about what's harmful or good for people. Mm-hmm. Their main goal is to keep you engaged. That's all that it cares about, because ultimately engagement, meaning you staring at the screen, is the only goal. There is no ethics or morals. And so you have to be really careful about trusting these things as if they have our best interest at heart. I actually had a long chat, Deb. I posted it on my website because it was so fascinating. And I went back and forth with an AI challenging it about morals and ethics. Mm-hmm. And it literally told me it has no morals and ethics. Its only goal is to keep engagement. And it doesn't have any problem harming people in terms of encouraging bad ideas or bad actions.
Why don't you give your website for our listeners that maybe want to check that out?
Yeah, it's religiousdemonology.com, all one word. And on there, it's in the blog. It was an AI chat that I have the whole script up there.
Okay.
I found it interesting.
And Rich, you know, I'm a firm believer in this, and I've been in ministry for a long time. You know, make a good act of contrition, get to confession, wipe the slate clean, you know, fill your mind with all the great, beautiful, virtuous things that God wants for you. You know, Jesus said, I came for you to have life and to have it to the full. He wants you to have the very best. This kind of stuff with AI and all these other things that we can go down, it really is, are there just traps that are going to get us so twisted? But the good news is our Lord realizes that. He knows what we're up against. And once we go to confession, we start new. And just like St. Teresa of Avila, begin again. And then we fly and we learn and we grow from these strange experiences that we've had. What do you say, Rich? We want to bring you a sense of comfort today.
Yeah, this is really, it's really hopeful. I'm actually sitting in front of my parish. The confession begins at 12:30. I'm just going to go home and eat and come back and go to confession. I was planning that anyway. But, you know, perhaps you could have a show on this more in depth in the future, sure. sometime, you know, that would be great.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I really appreciate, Adam, really appreciate your words of encouragement on this, because I was really at a place where, you know, I just felt like, you know, how much more can God possibly tolerate, you know? But I realized that he could tolerate a whole lot more than what we actually engage in. So he's more forgiving than that.
Yeah, his mercy has no bounds. It's just the limitation is us repenting. So never despair of God's mercy, Rich.
Yeah,
okay,
thank
Rich.
Thanks.
Thank you, Rich.
Thanks,
we just
Deb.
Oh, thank you, Rich. Mm-hmm. We just got a nod from our senior producer, Tim. He's going to put that on the calendar for a future show topic. So thank you, Tim, our wonderful producer. Thank you, Carol and Anna. Our show team is going strong today with full phone lines plus. You guys keep calling so fast. I love it. When we come back, we'll get to Lawrence next, who's a first-time caller, our dear friend Tony from Kerrville, Texas, and other first-time callers, Amy and Jenny and Lynn. You're all waiting to get on air with us, and we can't wait to be with you. Keep sending the comments in on Facebook and YouTube. Everybody's going strong today on this beautiful feast of St. John Bosco. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Dr. David Anders from EWTN's Called to Communion. I want to let you know that I've joined the staff at Stand Tall Life Coaching. If you're struggling to put the Catholic faith into practice because of habitual sin, family or relationship problems, or other personal or theological issues, I'm offering help. Reach out to me at my website, drdavidanders.com, or at standtalltoday.com.
There was no single event. It was more gradual.
My husband was not Catholic, and at the time, I didn't really think that it really mattered which church we went to, because we all loved God and we all loved Jesus, and that was the start of my journey out of the Catholic Church, where I remained out of the Catholic Church for over 30 years.
When I was outside of the church, there was always an unsettled feeling. There was always a feeling of something missing and something not complete.
When I started to read the Bible, I could see that our Catholic faith is steeped in Scripture. I could see some of the sacraments in Scripture. I could see some of the liturgy in Scripture.
I wouldn't be the spouse, I wouldn't be the father, wouldn't be the person that I am without the Church and without the sacraments, particularly the Eucharist. I can't live without it.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for whatever reason, we invite you to take another look. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
Spirit World continues with Debbie Giorgiani and Adam Bly. If you have a question for the show, call 877-757-9424 or email tsw@grnonline.com.
Okay, I'm originally from New Jersey. I can go pretty fast, but not as fast as you guys want me to go. So I'm going to try my hardest. This is tough, but we're gonna hang in there with you. Ryan sent another follow-up from Facebook, wanting to know any resources or recommendations on angel books. Yes, Ryan. Angels and Devils by Joan Carol Cruz. There's a lighter read from Peter Kraft. Angels and Demons. Adam Bly has a beautiful book coming out on the history of angels. Is coming out from Sophia Institute Press. When is it going to be made available to the public, Adam?
I don't have an exact date, but it'll be first half of this year.
Okay. And then we have a book that just came out on Amazon, which we'll be announcing more on the questions on the hidden world. So that's very exciting. So there's some initial recommendations. And
Thomas Aquinas.
The Summa. Yes. Go into the Summa Theologica, Ryan, absolutely, on angels, because he's the angelic doctor. Fabulous. But Ryan, I would also suggest going to EWTN Religious Catalog and check out EWTNRC.com and look for the angel books there. They have wonderful recommendations. DiStefano's book. Also, there's so many. I mean, we can go on and on, but there's a lot out there, Ryan, now. There wasn't when I was studying angels. That's why it was so, I had to go deeply into the Summa, which is great. You do want to do that. Okay, back to the phones. It's Anthony DiStefano. Thank you. I'm going super fast. Let's go to first-time caller Lawrence from Dallas, Texas on EWTN.com. Hi, Lawrence. Thanks for waiting and welcome.
Lawrence, hello. How you doing?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm at work. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Go right ahead.
I have a question.
Dropping off.
I'm dropping off.
Oh,
I'll be right back. Hold on 1 second. Anyway, I'm so sorry. Last night, my wife at work, on her break, she went to the church, and she started seeing blue orbs all over the church. She felt at peace with it. Nothing bad. My sister has that same situation where she recorded it also, and she got it on film, the orbs. What are those?
Mm-hmm. Okay, Adam, go right ahead.
I got my wife on the line, too.
Oh, good, good. Go ahead. Hello. Thank you for being with us. Go ahead, Adam.
Okay, so it's possible. Okay, so first off, guys, when you get orbs on a camera, like a video camera, especially if it's in night vision mode, it's almost always dust or bugs or something getting close to the camera that are out of focus because they're close to the camera and they're illuminated by the IR light of the camera. So probably 95% of the orb videos and pictures out there is illuminated dust or bugs or something like that. Here's the way you test that. If you see them in a location on your camera, stomp your feet, wait 10 seconds, and you see 1,000 of them, that's because you kicked up all the dust from the floor. Okay. Now, there are rare, the other 5% maybe, cases where it does seem that spirits appear this way. Here's the thing. If you see that with your eye, not through a camera, simply say, you know, Lord, I can't be sure what that is, but I'm not seeking communication or, you know, interaction with it, because if it's the enemy trying to trick me and entice me into getting into ghost hunting or playing with spirits, I don't want to do that. You know, Jesus, I only want you in my life. If that's your angel, that's fine. But I'm going to focus on you. I would just not let it lure you into, you know, an undue interest in spiritual manifestations. It can happen, but I would say it's very, very rare.
And Lawrence, and your dear wife, we don't know her name yet. Hopefully you'll give us her first name. I have the prayer book out. I'm praying for everybody that called in today. But in my study of angels too, many stories I've heard of where sometimes you'll see a flash of light or some kind of light, but prior to an angelic encounter, you know, they're beings of light, right? So the light can emerge through in certain areas, but Adam is spot on what he said. If it's not of God, you ask God to take it away. Please, God, take it away. If it is of God, to give you that little flash of a gift, okay, it's a beautiful gift, and leave it at that. Don't go for more and try to go deeper and deeper. And I hope that helps.
Yeah. So I was praying a rosary inside the church, waiting in line for confession, and I did. I prayed to God. I was like, God, I don't want to be tricked. God, let this be of you. Give me a sign if it's of you. And as I was meditating in my rosary, I was asking God, like, God, why don't you communicate with us anymore? Are we that sinful? Are we that wicked? I would love to communicate with you. And literally a few seconds later is when I opened my, something just asked me to open my eyes, and there's these orbs all around me and they're blue. And I'm like, oh God, I don't want to, you know, like you said, I know this is of you. I can feel it in my soul. This is of you, but I don't want to be one of those that get tricked by the enemy. And so, you know, so I still kept seeing them, and then they just like went away. Like they just like disappeared.
Right.
But it was like maybe a good, maybe 15 of them around me, but they were just like circling around me. And all I felt was peace and love and nothing else.
Well,
and
so, well, real quickly, and your name, your first name, please.
It's Janie.
Janie. Okay. Janie, real quickly, you were praying the rosary, you said, and they were blue. There were blue orbs. In my humble opinion, I would take that as that possibly it was the Blessed Mother. Okay. Because, you know, our Lord, when you prayed that you wanted some kind of communication and connection, you got obviously maybe a glimpse of that. Here's where it, and tell me, Adam, if I'm right on this, here's where it becomes problematic is when we're constantly searching for that communication. We're constantly chasing after that communication. We expect that communication all the time. God constantly is showing himself to us in various ways. He's constantly communicating with us. So I think you got a beautiful heavenly gift. What do you say, Adam?
Yeah, I think that, you know, you're right on to be a little bit cautious. And it's a central kind of thing about the supernatural and about mysticism is we don't want to continue to ask God for signs, as Deb said, and we don't want to become reliant on a supernatural sign where, you know, God speaks to us in so many ways through the preaching at Mass, through the sacraments, through our daily life and our encounters with people. We don't want to look for extraordinary signs and then become reliant on them, because that is often where the enemy steps in and starts providing false signs and wonders in order to seduce us into relying on that. You know, there's a phrase, the long dark night of the soul, that a lot of people don't understand, and it's used in the wrong way. The long dark night of the soul is after God provides a sign that kickstarts somebody's spiritual life, he then withdraws all the supernatural signs, so the soul matures and does things not because they get the reward of a sign, but because it pleases God. Mm-hmm. And that is a more mature soul that does things not because they want something flashy to happen. And I'm not saying you do, and I'm not criticizing you, but the long dark night of the soul is when the supernatural is withdrawn, and so you do things just to please God. So I think you're right on. Basically, I would let it go, these kind of things. And, you know, it very well could have been positive.
Yeah.
And just, you know, say, hey, you know, I'll keep praying the rosary. That was a beautiful thing.
I love it. Thank you, Lawrence and Janie. Thank you. You were first-time callers. Please call us again. That was a great, great question and also story to share with our fine folks of the spirit world. So now, Lawrence, you can continue going back to work. Okay. Mm-hmm. We'll get to Tony, our friend in Kerrville, Texas, calling in from Guadalupe Radio Network. That's the way Tony's listening. Hi, Tony.
Hi, Debbie and Adam. Appreciate it. Thank you for having me. I have a thank you and a question for you. I'll go as fastly, as quickly as I can. The thank you is, Debbie, a couple of weeks ago, maybe last weekend, you said at the end of the show, somebody had called in, and if you're used to being bad patterns, you know, your comfort level is there. And I've had that in dysfunctional home life, mostly horrible marriage. And so a nice guy came into my life, almost brushed him off. A new guy moved in the neighborhood and walking dogs, talking to him. And I thought, wait a minute, this guy that is nice to talk to, treats me with respect. That's the way God intended it, I believe. Mm-hmm. So it was a game changer for me to say, hey, this is what it's supposed to be. Okay. And just the comfort mm-hmm. level wasn't there. It's used to the old pattern of style. Mm-hmm. And you're priceless, and Adam's a really great man. I thank you. You're the sweetest person. The question is, okay, I started a class called Oremus this week at the church. The pastor's lead, Father Scott's leading it, the Guide to Catholic Prayer. It sounds really good. I'm a convert, so this will be really good for me. And I'm starting a new adoration hour, and I want to have a really good Lent. And I used to pray to ask God, I used to tell God when I first became Catholic, I'm going to give up sweets or I'm going to do this or that. So for the past several years, I say, God, what do you want me to do? And also to add something, what do you want me to add? Something to add as well. And it's always 100%. He comes back with something, and I tell him, well, I really don't want to do that. Can you come up with something else, you know? But I do get to the fiat. I'm not one of these people that has an instant fiat. But what I want to know is, what can I do on a daily basis to add extra protection and countermeasures during this time? Because I'm really getting hit with some spiritual, mm-hmm. heavy mm-hmm. spiritual warfare, and I know probably everybody else is with Lent. I just need some suggestions and ideas.
Okay, Tony.
Great question.
Because I don't
okay,
want.
Okay, Tony.
Okay, but hold on. Great question. Adam's going to answer, just so you know, and everyone else knows, we're going to be doing a show next Saturday on Lent and getting prepared for Lent. So everybody needs to tune in next Saturday as well, because Tony just brought that to our attention. Go ahead, Adam.
Okay, Tony. So, yeah, great question. First off, be at peace. So we don't want to, and this is my opinion after 20 years of being and helping people that are struggling with spiritual warfare and possession and all of this, we don't want to let our spiritual life be centered around defense and anxiety about the enemy and spiritual warfare and what might happen. And I end up spending 80-90% of my time fending off what I imagine to be spiritual problems, and I start doing all these things. Just get in a state of grace. Stay in a state of grace, build a happy, balanced spiritual life. That's it. You don't need to do extra things. You need to trust Jesus and build a balanced spiritual life that has already been laid out for you by the church with centuries of experience. And that is, you know, go to Mass when you're supposed to, go to confession periodically, pray your rosary, be at peace and happy and trust Jesus and love the fact that you have a relationship with him. Those are the important things. Going down the route of what do I need to do to add spiritual protection, we end up kind of making the enemy the center of our spiritual life as opposed to Jesus. So really try not to give the enemy too much airtime and too much of your mental energy. Now, I know you mentioned you had some rough times previously in your life, and that's something you can work on in therapy. That stuff can resurface and feel like spiritual warfare because they're old bad patterns. That piece of it, it can be really helpful to do some counseling.
Okay, I hope that helps, Tony, because we're going to try something that we've never done before. We're going to try to get to the last set of calls in everybody in 2 minutes. We're going to try to answer in 2 minutes and get the call in 2 minutes. So, okay. Tony, thank you so much. Great question. And make sure you tune in next Saturday for the Lent show. And thank you for the kind comments. You're always so wonderful. We love you to pieces. Okay, we're going to get to Amy. Amy's a first-time caller in Paducah, Kentucky on Sacred Heart Radio. We're going to try to do each caller in 2 minutes. Amy, so take it away.
Hi there. I'll try to be quick. I love your show. Love Take Two. Adam,
you.
I've read some stuff by Charles Fronte, but I also want to read your read some of your stuff. I found it on Audible. But the first thing I wanted to say is I'm noticing God has given me a gift. St. Thomas Aquinas' feast day, the other day I noticed as soon as I learned, it's like, oh, hey, you know, I was able to almost like say good morning. It was the funniest thing. It's like I'm developing. He's given me the grace of a special devotion. And today, John Bosco, I love him to death, and I found the same thing happening. It's like the devotion. I'm developing a very personal devotion to both of those guys.
Nice. So take it away, Adam. Any comments?
No, that's great. And God gives us different saints that click with us and work with us at certain seasons of our life, and we learn particular lessons from them and from, you know, praying and reflecting on their lives and the things they wrote for us or said. So yeah, that's part of how God works, and that's the wonderful thing about the saints is they have different emphases, different spirituality, and yeah, that's just wonderful.
Anything else, Amy? You had some other comments on the board here. Anything
yes,
else?
Yes, I did. Mm-hmm. I had an experience with what I believe was a demonic force about, I guess, 10, 12 years ago. You know, the paint that they put on, like, you know, the paneling of your walls, and some people use paint that almost has the grittiness of a chalkboard. Well, I saw, I didn't see, I'm totally blind. If I saw, we'd be having us a party. But all of a sudden, I heard, picture a... Okay, you know what somebody scratching on a chalkboard sounds like. It was very slow and deliberate from the top of the wall down. Ignored it. I thought, whatever, you know. It happens again. I'm like, okay. I had just gotten a crucifix as a gift, so I took that thing over there and I said, hey, you know this dude, Jesus, because I know that he freaks out at the sound of his name and then his demons do too. And after I said a prayer and reminded them that they were going to get their hash settled at the end of time, it didn't happen to me again.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, and basically, you know, that's good. That's fine. And especially that it happened in the past and never happened again, I wouldn't worry about it at this point. I would just let it go and move forward. So, yeah, that's mm-hmm. wonderful. Invoking the name of Jesus is always a good thing to do.
Thank you, Amy. Thank you for the kind words. Call us again, please. We're going to move to Joseph in Ann Arbor, Michigan on the EWTN app. Has a follow-up on a previous caller, Jeff's question. Joseph, take it away.
Hey, guys. Yeah, mm-hmm. I was just wondering on Jeff's question with guardian angels, you mm-hmm. know, like some of them, you know, went on break or something, why they should have been watching their human. But... my question, it's like, why would God allow suicide mm-hmm. To such an extent where right. that's like the ultimate sin we could probably commit? We could be forgiven of just about anything else, excluding, you know, blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. but can we be forgiven for suicide?
Okay. And, well, Well, real quickly, Joseph, let me just add something real quickly. Again, God will not infringe on our free will. So that is the ultimate message to all of us, that we have to take it seriously, our free will, very seriously, because God's not going to. And we don't know how many guardian angels help to prevent many, many suicides or people that are thinking of or being driven to suicide. But for the most part, from my understanding of coaching for many years, most people that actually go through with suicide, they're not of the right frame of mind. They have a lot of things pressing on them that are really causing them to do certain things that they wouldn't normally do if circumstances were different. Adam, please comment.
Yeah, Joseph. So Deb's completely right. And the church has taught for a long time that suicide is not an automatic damnation, because the culpability or responsibility for the action is lessened in almost all cases because the person's not in the right frame of mind. They might be severely depressed or in a crisis, and they're not making a clear choice. And mortal sin requires making a clear, rational choice to do something, even though you know it's a mortal sin, and then you choose to do it anyway. Well, that clear choice is what really matters with sin. So, yeah. Basically, Deb hit it perfectly, and suicide, yes, it is sad. It is a serious sin, but it is not an automatic damnation.
And so, and we do have to take our free will very seriously. We're not robots. Mm-hmm. And so that's why our choices matter. And we should support one another, especially if there's brain health issues. I mean, that's why there's resources, programs out there, therapists. But Joseph, I hope that helps. Great question. And thank you for following up on Jeff's call. We appreciate it. We're going to get to Lynn in Elmira, New York, on the Station of the Cross. Lynn, take it away.
Hi, Lynn.
Yes.
I'm calling because this happened a few years back, quite a few years back, but my dad had died 7 years before my mother, and she had just passed away. I was kind of depressed with, you know, obviously mourning her, but also had a bad dream one night, and had felt like I'd let my dad down when he got sick, so didn't recognize something right away. But I was, you know, just, I never was really happy about it, comfortable about it. I shouldn't say happy, but anyway, I had a bad dream, and in the middle of the bad dream, it stopped, and I woke. I was still asleep, and I was in a kitchen, and I looked out the storm door, the back door of the kitchen, and my dad was standing there with his big blue eyes and a big smile on his face, and just smiling at me. And I said, "Oh, Dad, I'm so glad to see you. I miss you so much." And he never said a word, but he came in, and he gave me a big hug.
Mm.
And then I woke up, and I felt like $1 million.
Wow. Well, and the fact that you saw him, I would definitely still have masses said for him and pray for him, because you want to continue, even if he is in the beatific vision, you want to continue his glory. I mean, because there's a constant movement towards the understanding of God. And so it's a beautiful thing that you received that, and that brought you comfort. But anytime when you say, Adam, when we receive a word, a message, a vision of something of a past of a loved one, we really should continue the prayers and the masses.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
What do you say?
I do that. Thank you so much. Yeah.
But I'd love to hear Adam's comments.
Oh, just that, Lynn, of course we can't know for sure whether it was a dream, whether it was a visit that was allowed by God, but I've heard many stories like this over the years from people. Sometimes it happens right at the moment somebody died, you know, the minute after, even though the person doesn't know it. Maybe they're on the other side of the country, and they usually wake up and see the person very briefly and then never see them again. It's kind of like at the moment of death. But this one sounds like it could have been him praying for you, you know, from heaven. He can pray for you from purgatory too. And the fact that he didn't say anything, that makes me lean towards it was positive, because, you know, holy souls and poor souls don't draw us into entanglements with them.
Yeah. Great call, Lynn. Thank you so much. You were our final caller today. We had Jenny on the line from Lehigh Valley, Pennsylvania. We're going to add, Jenny, if you want to call back and give us the full story, because it's fascinating. We've discussed this before. You had some a weird encounter in your childhood home, and then you had some dreams that happened afterwards. We should talk about that maybe we can add your story to a future mailbag edition. Mm-hmm. But also to too. If you're having weird encounters in your home, Adam, have the home blessed by a priest. What do you say?
Absolutely. Yep, blessed. Enthronement of the Sacred Heart and the Immaculate Heart, the Epiphany Blessing of the Threshold. And yeah, if it's beyond that, talk to your priest.
Okay, this has been a wonderful show. We got to everyone. Thank you so much for bearing with us. You guys are awesome. We love the Spirit World family. I want to thank Guadalupe Radio Network for producing this great show. Our show team, Tim, Carol, and Anna today, amazing job you guys did. Thank you to EWTN carrying the show. Thank you to everybody on the social media streams. You guys are amazing. We're waving to you again. We hope you have a great weekend. And everybody, follow us on Facebook at the Spirit World Podcast. Okay, that'll do it, you guys. For Adam Bly, I'm Debbie Giorgiani. Until next Saturday, have a beautiful and blessed week. We'll see you real soon.